Welcome, welcome, all of you. My dear devotees, this subject matter of the fifth verse of Shikshastakam is challenging. One great Vaishnava Acharya says,
"The verses problem of my material existence is
that I have forgotten that it's a problem." When a prisoner does not know that there is a life of freedom and it's a problem that he is in the prison, he will never do anything to change. Or when a person who is deadly sick does not know that this is a problem to be sick, he will never take the medicine, isn't it? So when a conditioned soul seemingly has all the things together in his or her life which make life in this world tolerable, then he will not do anything. He will not want to get out of it. We have many little stories in the scriptures. One I remember was the one which Srila Prabhupada told us, that to bring out this point, that Indra, who was enjoying luxurious pleasure, was cursed to live a life as, I'm very sorry after breakfast to tell it, but as a, how do you call, as a pig, he was living his life with his family, and Brahma and all the devatas felt, we need Indra in his post, so he came and addressed Indra, who was a nicely arranged pig. He had arranged his life very nicely and said, "Indra, would you like to join?" And he, the heavenly planets, it's heavenly up there. And he said, "It's heavenly down here. I have my mud bath." And so on and so forth. And only when Brahma took out a chopper and killed all his family members and his few wives, and then approached him, he understood, "Oh no, please spare me, please. I can understand everything here is short-lived, and in fact we are kept by the farmer to be sold to the slaughterhouse. I really want to now go." So the problem is our forgetfulness, and in fact the whole material existence is based on avidya. Avidya doesn't mean not knowing the syllabus in the school, ignorance, doesn't mean that. Avidya means not knowing that you are a spiritual soul and mistakenly identifying your temporary body and existence as all that is. But how to instill this? I mean, the acharyas have not taken knives and gone at the disciples to make them understand that this life is temporary and it will be cut by the sword of time. I remember when I was standing before my dying mother just a few months ago, and she looked at me in a moment of absolute clarity and says, "So what does my lecture-giving son now say to me? You're speechless, isn't it?" She has the sharpness which... I said, "Mother, I've just arrived and I'm emotionally a little bit shaken. But if you want me to say, just give me something." And then I said, "Yes, I have given many lectures about the subject matter of there is no death, but how is it for you to die? I have a question. I don't have a lecture for you. And she said, I am speechless. I can't explain it with words. It is beyond my words what I'm experiencing. Yes, whenever we wake up from our life, either due to misery or enlightenment or sudden gust of knowledge, divine knowledge, then we understand. We are diverted souls who are a long, long way from home. I wrote once a poem about it, and since I want to lead you in this subject, I want to recite it to you. Oh my Lord, I think you know that I love only you, although I pretend to love other people and things. I think you know that when I'm sad, it's because I feel separated from you, although if I'm asked, I would give other reasons. When I cry, it's always because of missing you, although I give my tears other names. I think you also know that I'm only looking for you, although I seem to be looking for other persons and things. Yes, my Lord, I am a divided soul, searching for something in the east while going west. I'm a helpless soul, forced by some other agent long ago to play the double life of a devotee and a cheater. Do you know why I'm writing you this? It's because I want your special mercy. Don't believe my acts. Don't trust my words. But look deep into my heart, and you will see your own beautiful image there. I wanted to express that deep inside, the discomfort I feel as a conditioned soul in this world is because I'm missing Krishna. But I'm trying to convince myself it's because I'm uncomfortable because I have to yet fix this, that, and the other thing. The poem is called Don't Trust Me. Don't believe my words and actions. Look what is behind them. This is what I... sorry. So when you long for Krishna, or let us say pray for Krishna, first and foremost, you must make sure that the real you prays and not the phantom you, the you who... the mask you. You have to come to this place where you are really yourself. And that's why Srila Prabhupada always said the first thing to understand in Krishna consciousness is I'm not the body, yes. My dear devotees, I came to Srila Prabhupada for our last meeting in this life, physical meeting. He was and had come to London. He wanted to make one more world tour and go afterwards to America, to Gita Nagari. That was one of his stations. But when he was in London, he could feel that he had no time any longer to make this world view, a world tour. And he returned directly from London. He interrupted his journey and returned back to India, and then left soon after sorry, after that. So he had invited us to come from Germany, to us means the Sankirtan devotees and other devotees, to see him one more time in the manor. And because I was at that time a translator and Sankirtan devotee, sometimes my GBC arranged for a special darshan with only five of us, the Sankirtan leaders and the leaders of the German yatra. When we came into the room, I was so shocked to see the person who I loved most so emaciated. He had a big spectacles on his eyes. He called them the Govinda spectacles. They were called by us, his disciples, the Govinda spectacles. For some reason we thought, we wanted to play it down that his eyesight was very sensitive. We thought, through this he looks at Govinda. He was silent when he saw us entering. My dear devotees, I knew how to bind a dhoti, but when I saw him, my dhoti slipped from my waist because of the tremendous shock. I mean, I didn't go entirely down. I caught it and then quickly sit down. It was really moving also the dhoti. It was really moving everything in me. I was breathless and talkless. When Prabhupada must looked at us, and when Prabhupada looked at you, he looked through you and into you. And we were all really speechless. And then he spoke in a whispering voice. So, it was very deep. So, it seemed to come from another world. Have you understood our philosophy? So soon the devotees piped up and gave, yes, Savadamang Paricha Jama, and different verses. But Prabhupada was not satisfied. Finally, someone said, Parata Bhumite Hoyala Manushya Jama. Anyone you meet, tell him about Krishna's instruction. Then Prabhupada spoke very strongly, what is Krishna Upadesh? What is Krishna's instruction? No one of us could speak. In the presence of this, let us say, greatest of all bhaktas, this giant, this mountain, we felt like little ants, speechless. And then Prabhupada said, you first have to understand. Long pause. That life, long pause, is eternal. He repeated his instruction, we are not the body, we are eternal souls. Our home is not here, it is in the spiritual world. We are part and parcel of Krishna. So when you chant, my dear devotees, when you pray, you may need to go through all this mental fog which covers you, all these thoughts, all these concerns, and come to the real you. We have prepared a poem for you. I will read it because not all of you can see it. I am not I. I am this one standing beside me. This one whom I don't see, who at times I manage to visit and at other times I forget. I am the one who listens quietly when I speak. I am the one who forgives gently when I hate. I am the one who goes where I am not. I am the one who will remain standing when I die. This is beautifully expressed by the one Juan Ramon Jimenez, Spanish poet. My dear devotees, prayer is important in Krishna consciousness. It's an intensely personal process, but at the same time most universal, because everyone throughout the centuries, throughout the millennium, throughout all the various countries, religions, spiritual movements, traditions, is praying, raising their voice to the one, the source of all, the Lord of love, and so on. Our Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with so many beautiful and sincere prayers by the greatest of all souls, and reading and then praying their prayers helps us to cut through the mental fog that covers our real self. These prayers are the realization of devotees. And prayers, you must know, is not the language in words. Prayer must be the language of the heart, the deeper part of you, the real you, the you who doesn't find so much expression, perhaps, in the many things which the false you does. Prayers are immediately answered when they are spoken from the real you point of view. When you mean them, Krishna will sometimes not answer your prayers. It is said when you go on Govardhan Parikrama and you pray something, Giriraj will go directly behind you. He hears your prayers. And when you pray, let me pass and examine, he will help you. But if you pray something like, let me develop love for you, let me become your devotee, he will not answer. He will think, this is how the people in Vrindavan explain it, let's see what he prays for next year. And then next year, if you are consistent and have the same prayer, he will say, let me wait another year and see how sincere that is. But if your prayer for his presence is sincere, then he will answer. I want to now show you a little bit the types of prayers, and then I will try to guide you in a prayer session, and after that we will do a prayer for kirtan. Is that a good idea?
Yes.
Good. So we will start with the types of prayers which Rupa Goswami mentions. One is Dainya Bodhika. It's more like an apology, where the devotee realizes his or her own imperfection and weaknesses and offers prayers in which they, the devotees, express their fallen state, their real state. usually in prayers you do this because you have to make a real beginning, you know. Make sure that the real you is praying. Would you like to hear such a prayer?
Yes.
My dear Lord, there is no sinful living entity who's more of a sinner than myself. You may say, but wait a minute, I'm not such a sinner. Yes, when I was young, I smoked various things. No need to mention. Yes, and I had my weak moments in Krishna consciousness. But now I'm, as old age strikes, I'm relatively clean. And if I'm not so clean, and no one is clean in ISKCON. You may think like this. And what is anyways the sin? My dear devotees, we have left Krishna. We have broken a relationship. And it's not his fault. The fault is entirely yours. That's a problem. I'm so grateful, sinful, and offensive that when I come to confess my sinful activities before you, I am ashamed. This is an apology, Dainya Bodhika. Second type of prayer, traditional prayer, is Lala Samayi. It's a spiritual request. Not a request like, give me a new car, but it's a spiritual request, you know. It's when one has developed some attachment to Krishna, then one may pray for some particular spiritual perfection or service in the spiritual world. Let's hear an example of that. It's from Narada Pancharatra. My dear Lord, O lotus-eyed one, when will that day come when on the bank of the Yamuna I shall become just like a madman and continue to chant your holy name with incessant tears flowing from my eyes? That's a prayer which is a little bit more close to our hearts. No? When will that day come, my Lord, when I am in kirtan and I chant with great enthusiasm and single-minded focus? When we hear about madness in Krishna consciousness, or the question, when do I become a madman? It means just this one thing, exclusive focus. It is not some mental problem that needs to be treated with the appropriate pills. No. So here, it's a request. When will this day come when my offenses have ceased, they've stopped, and I will actually be able to chant with full taste? And then comes the last division in prayer, which Rupa Goswami mentions, Sampratanatmika, or total submission. This is happening when a devotee prays for the complete dedication of body, mind, and words to Krishna. Total submission. And interestingly, Rupa Goswami quotes a love poem. Have any one of you ever fallen in love? I mean, this is not a question we would like to raise our hands and so on. But I have heard when this happens, you think all the time of the beloved. And this is the prayer here. My Lord, I know that young girls have a natural affection for young boys, and that young boys have a natural affection for young girls. It's not forced, it's natural. I'm praying that my mind may become attracted unto you in the same spontaneous way. No, when there's real love, you don't hesitate to do service for the beloved, to help, to be there when there is a need that has arisen. You speak out for your beloved. You think of the beloved. Body, mind, and words are dedicated entirely. This is Sampratanatmika. I want to introduce you to a prayer in relationship to the holy name. It's a prayer which I constantly pray when I come to my limits. It's a very beautiful prayer, and we have put it here. By the way, some of these things, if you want, we can send you some of these PowerPoint, what is it called? Slides and prayers. I thought to do this after 2 weeks to as a reminder of the retreat. Do you think that is a good idea?
Yes.
So you can give your good name and WhatsApp. It's WhatsApp or what is it?
Email WhatsApp.
To this young ship, Palalat Nishinga, you can collect it. Please make yourself visible, Palalat Nishinga. Yes. You can give it. Then in two, I think it's good to have a reminder, and we put some nice prayers. Then you have it all in one piece in your mobile phone. Yes. So here it is. It is given by Srila Prabhupada when he was on a morning walk at the Stowe Lake in San Francisco. It was in the year 1968. And I first heard this prayer last year when we opened the Govardhana Retreat Center. Bhujang Prabhu mentioned it, and then Gaur Krishna was finding it in the Vedabhyas, this prayer. Therefore, this one practice, chanting Hare Krishna and hearing, that is very nice. And praying to Krishna, please give me strength. Hare, O energy of Krishna. O Krishna, I am fallen. I have no strength. Please accept me. That's all. I have no qualification. I'm frail. I'm trying, but I'm failing. All these appeals should be made. And Krishna is all powerful. He can do anything. Krishna will help us. So this combining a chanting and prayer is very important, and it has to do with the mysterious nature of bhakti. Bhakti, my dear devotees, has two halves that are combined in one. I like to give the example of a chickpea. Have you seen the chickpeas? They are two halves in one. Have you seen with your own eyes? Yes. So bhakti also has two things in one. One is our efforts that we do, getting up, coming to the program, or you know, chanting our 1.5 rounds. Some joke is required. Making a sincere effort, as good as we can, although we fail. But the other very important half, which I believe is often falling under the table, and Vianna, is your devotional feeling. We have to do not just service. I hear we have hired, we are here in New Vrindavan. We have 100 people to whom we take care of, pay also, to maintain the property. 100 people. Hare Krishna. Lakshmi Devi is very, very much blessing our Jai Krishna and Anuradha and the devotees here. And some of them are just service people. They do it out of, yeah, we get payment. But this is not how you do bhakti. Not like this. You must do with devotion. And Krishna is interested in that. So we will now guide you. There's our Kshameshwari is here. Kshameshwari, please come to us here. We will give you small and nice pieces of paper and pens. What? I can't understand. You have your own pens. Hopefully. Or you can just burn a match and then... What? Or just, you know, cut a little in the finger and then... I'm sorry, I'm from a different generation, it seems here. Yeah. What? Or you borrow from your neighbor. This is more practical. More practical. Oh. We old generation are accustomed to different ways. So let us first start by getting all the pieces of paper. Jim, I think you're sending, you're putting it around. Then when everyone has his pen and paper ready, now, at that time, I will tell you what to do. What we want to do is, or maybe we should first do this, yes. It's beautiful, beautiful paper. You know, when we asked, we have such a wonderful team. We asked this Gopal Nayika, can you please get some paper? Gopal Nayika got this beautiful card, and then she got from somewhere a stamp. Maybe she did the stamp on her own and then stamped the paper. It's beautiful, no? This means devotional service. You know, service would be, yes, just some piece of paper. But devotional service, let me make it nice for Krishna and the devotees, no? So how are we doing, everyone?
But they, when they see things, then it becomes a reality for them.
Manu, you have your paper?
Yes.
It is good to write and not type on the mobile telephone and put it on your Instagram. I know you. It is good to write. You know, when you write with your hand and a pen, it's you're thinking something. But perhaps if you don't have any pen, then this modern thing. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. The real point is, so first of all, I need to see, does everyone have a paper? Yes. Good. This is the successful. Now, who doesn't have a pen? Aravind has no pen. Aravind, we have an extra pen for you. This is your special pen, Aravind. Anyone has no pen? I have in my, I'm in my jacket. Anyone? There is an extra pen. So, my dear devotees, we all have pen and paper now. Yes? Good. We will ask you now to write your prayer to Harinam Prabhu or Krishna as the holy name. What do you pray for him? Imagine Krishna stands before you. He wants to see what is your expression. You may have to first think a little bit or do a little free writing to release the floodgate. Remember from this morning's class? I just got my prayer. And we will make it easy. And then, at the end of this, Kshameshwari, please stand up. You will get a ribbon. Here's a ribbon. And then you will... You are more intelligent than me for the... Yes, the deities will see Manoram's prayer. The deities will have to go through Ram Govinda's handwriting. No, but the Lord knows. Lord knows. It is very easy. And Lord also understands when you are a little tired and you're not in the best. Yeah. And please try to write your prayer in the most beautiful handwriting. Maybe you want to write it first somewhere else. But it should be just a piece of art you offer to Krishna. And he will see, the pujari will, it will be opened, all the prayers, it will be shown to the Lord. It will really reach the Lord. So, my dear devotees, your prayer to the holy name, you have about 7 minutes or so to note it down, and we will see after 7 minutes how far you are. Krishna is unlimited, you know. How many characters? You know, if it's concise, I think it is good. You may have to think a little bit. Maybe even turn to your neighbor and ask for inspirations. The Lord will know when he sees, yeah. But if you wish, you can also do. But maybe you think it's highly confidential because in my prayer I'm going to reveal my weaknesses and I don't want this to be put on internet. Also, no? So it can be anonymous, it can be signed by you as you wish. Sometimes anonymous things work very well. Okay, I leave you now. Kshameshwari, you could perhaps stand there and then as everyone exits, they can give the last prayers into this. But don't sell the prayers to anyone. They are only for Krishna. No? No one can have an... And that's why we close the prayers with a ribbon so that no one can look what it is. Good. So please don't worry. You will have your chance to give it in the basket when you leave. I wanted to just end this particular session with a very brief thing from my side, and then I want to turn it over to our Amala Harinam and Nadia. Perhaps you want to already come and sit or just quickly visit and then come and sit. So, all this, the two parts of bhakti, it's really about this, our effort in chanting, oops, this is a little loud, and our devotional feelings, which come best, the devotional feelings in prayer. It's we are most accustomed to this. When we address the Lord prayerfully, or when we chant prayerfully, all this needs to be brought together in the chanting. And I would like to request you one more time, I need a pair of cuddles to do this. And yes, here it is. Please sit straight. Go Krishna, perhaps you go where the harmonium is and Jana or Mayapur. When you sit down in the morning to do your japa, or when you come, like tomorrow, for a longer kirtan session, what you will hear now will be hopefully very helpful to do kirtan with some bhava, some devotional feelings, like gratitude. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends to do, and take a few deep breaths, please. It's good if everyone finds their place to sit down. Tell yourself long breaths, slow breaths, and deep exhales. Long inhales. And whenever the time comes, deep exhales. When you're ready, draw your attention to your heart area and close your eyes. Whenever you breathe into the heart area, feel the lightness. As you breathe out from there, feel a nice sense of relaxation that spreads throughout. In, feel the lightness. Whenever it's time to breathe out, feel the sense of relaxation. Do this for a few rounds, means breath cycles. Now bring your mind to the three affirmations from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In my essence, I'm an atomic particle of consciousness and Krishna's eternal servant. Categorically, I'm different from the body and mind. I'm an eternal, blissful, spiritual being. I'm part of Krishna. then envision the Lord in your heart, perhaps a deity you relate to, perhaps an image you have seen as a picture, a painting, and contemplate Krishna is the infinite master of my life, and he's also truly my best friend. For so long I have invested in so many other relationships, but now I understand that Krishna is my true master, and I can turn to him as my true friend. And sing now to Krishna. You might remember Krishna's qualities of being very grateful. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
a little to see in our mind's eye the Lord's form, his lustrous bluish complexion, the reddish hue that emanates from the sole of his feet, and the light that streams forth from the nails on his lotus feet. Remember his delightful flute that he lifts and places on his lips. Remember his gentle smile, his wide lotus eyes, his curly locks of hair. Finally, focus all your conscious attention and fully absorb yourself in the effulgence radiance that emanates from his most attractive smile. Smile, or better, think about the divine smile and sing in a prayerful mood. Not with an empty mind, with a full mind. Please sing now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
please, everybody, let's sing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you really mean it. Krishna. My dear devotees, there are miles of difference. No, there are actually continents of difference. No, there are actually planets of difference. It's wrong to say it like this. There are universes of difference between mindless chanting and Krishna conscious chanting. Hare Krishna. So, I thank you very much for participating so nicely. We will now end the session by requesting our Amala Harinam Prabhu and Nadia Mani to contribute to this. I really want to say this Holy Name Retreat, or how do we call it, the Holy Name Immersion Retreat, is very, very, very much based on chanting together, hearing from various devotees about the glories of the Holy Name, so that we can really come to this a heart full of Krishna chanting. That is required. So, please don't think these kirtans are optional, they are foundational. So I have requested Anamala Harinam Prabhu to share something about chanting, and please do so now.
So Maharaj requested me to share something from Sripada Andhra Prabhu. Specifically in this mood that he's been sharing today, and exactly how Srila Prabhupada is explaining how I have no strength, I have no ability on my own, please accept me. So he said, is there anything you can share from Iyengar Prabhu, who also had this same mood when chanting? I found a very nice excerpt from his book called The Heart of Transcendental Book Distribution. And one passage he writes to Srimati Radharani in this mood. So I'll read a bit of that now. And in it he's speaking about a useless flower, this pastime. My dear Praneshwari, Srimati Radha Sundari, do you remember the instance of your extreme compassion upon that useless little flower? I become immensely solaced and hopeful thinking of your special mercy upon her, the flower. During your Vanavihara Lila, one evening in the month of Jyestha, as you and your beloved were strolling along the forest path with your sakis, playful Sham, to give happiness to the trees and creepers, was admiring them by touching their fruits and leaves and smelling their fragrant flowers. As the two of you gradually approached a thicket along the way, one unassuming, useless little flower began to anxiously cry in great anxiety, lamenting, "Oh, why did I have to be a useless flower? Why? Why did I have to be so useless? Why did I have to be without fragrance for the pleasure of his senses? Oh, he never accepts us useless flowers. I'm the embodiment of the offense of offering useless flowers. I am so unfortunate. What is the use of having taken such a useless birth in this land of Vraj? Why did I have to be so useless?" Crying and crying again and again, she deeply despaired. Anywhere, anyway, there is no hope of ever being enjoyed by him in this birth. I will give up my life by being trampled under his lotus feet. With this determination, she, weeping and weeping, forcibly threw herself down off the bush, falling unconscious on the forest path. Oh dear Srimati Radharani, you, overhearing the distress of her heart, pointed her out to your loving Shyam, who mercifully reaching down and picking her up from the ground, happily placed her as a beautiful flower ornament atop his crown, giving her limitless beaming bliss and glorifying the intensity of her bhava above the sentiments of all other flowers. So Ayendra Prabhu, just this next paragraph, he has his own little offering. Hey Radhe Shyam, offering unto you my one and only scentless soul is no better than the offense of offering a useless flower. This Leela, however, demonstrates to me that the little flower's external deficiency really had no direct bearing on the actual status of her internal loving sentiments, but rather indirectly served to enhance them. Hey Radhe Shyam, please in the same way, despite everything, see something good in my lowly self. Pick me up and save me from the perilous forest path of my own unbounded uselessness. Many devoted souls were placed in lower class, materially degraded or uneducated, less sophisticated families by the will of the Supreme Authority, just to give them a better chance to more feelingly approach your Lordship's lotus feet with the requisite humility and natural modesty which was most lucklessly lacking in their previous life of liberal loftiness. Moreover, it is clearly explained in Gaudiya Vaishnav literature that great devotees of Lord Gauranga purposefully appeared in such degraded families or in impious lands, specifically to demonstrate that the evolvement of bhakti is in no way dependent upon material conditions.
So beautiful. That flower from a thorny bush had no fragrance, like perhaps our own. But Radha pointed out to Krishna this flower, and the flower was then placed by the Lord on his crown, the topmost place. And I've actually seen that flower. There is this flower. It is now known as Krishna Chuda. This particular flower, I mean, this from this bush, this thorny bush, Krishna Chuda, and if you see it, perhaps Amalahari Nam, we can send you a photo of that flower. We have a photo of this. It is very nice. Thank you. So yes, hope is there. Please. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Oh,
We really don't want to stop singing, no? It's good if this is going on also when you sleep or when you talk. Or this is, by the way, when you do a lot of kirtan, the idea is, or the desire is, that it will come to a point of not enunciated singing. In other words, it just continues on its own. Like we do know that Srila Prabhupada, when he was for a heart invasion in the hospital in New York, when he was under anesthesia, imagine, he was continuing to chant. And the doctor said, when will the old man ever stop to mumble? He did not know. Hare Krishna, just two things to complete the session. First of all, thank you, Nadi Omani. You really, and also our Amara Harinam, you really put the melody and the word contribution, what you said was really fitting in this idea to combine chanting with prayer, not prayerful chanting, or to bring the two halves of the bhakti, the effort and the internal mood together. Yes, so that it's alive. Just one point for yesterday with this beautiful ceremony. I don't know if you all have heard this, but these rakhis, the colorful bands, were offered to Lord Nrisimhadev, and there was a ceremony on the altar so that this will protect your own sadhana and will also empower your chanting. I'm saying this because some devotees have come later, and yes, if you wish to take something as a memory, but also something as a additional help from this retreat, there must be still some rakhis, and you can turn to the team, they can organize this for you. A second point before Gopi Manjari gives us the orientation is, again, our two very talented, how do you call these, cultural ministers of this retreat, our Gauravani and Achyuta Gopi, have again taken something from Vaishnava culture, which is, therefore it's very important that you come at 4:45 p.m. Already to the entrance of the temple, and then they will do something. I don't know what it is, but it will be good that I have heard. Then we will proceed into the temple from there for our kirtan up till 8 o'clock or something like this. So, yes. How do you all feel? No, don't just shout Hari Bol. It could mean many things. A sarcastic Hari Bol, or something is happening, isn't it? Yes. This much we can say. There is some effect on our hearts, and that is desired. Good.